If you have your Bibles, open to the book of Job tonight, the book of Job. And this is just a launching off point from this one verse. I'm curious with everyone in the room tonight, we talked about snow and how many of you can answer these questions at home as well. How many of you went sledding sometime in the last 3 days? Raise your hand. All right. Wow. I see some adults went sledding as well. Very good. How many of you did some snow shoveling? Raise your hand. Oh, I see all the adults raising their hands. Good. So how many of you used a snow blower? Snow blower, not snow shovel. Good. Oh, wow. I see some young children raising their hands. Brother Devane let his son use the snow blower. He told me about that unique experience. You'll have to ask Brother Scott about that later. But, you know, it's a wonderful blessing to have snow. And I don't know in America if we really think about a lot of what it's like to have snow. Anybody want to guess the percentage of people estimated that have never seen snow? Anyone want to take a wild guess? Did you know that almost 60% of the world has never seen the blessings of snow? I was looking up some things here. Did you know that the largest measured snowflake has been over 6 inches? Can you imagine that? That's one of the ones you don't want to hit you in the face, I don't think. Did you know that? And that was by a physics professor at California Institute of Technology. He's from California. I'm like, where did you see this snowflake? But the biggest snowball fight was in, anybody want to guess what country? Just shout it out. Anybody want to guess the country? A? Canada, good. Canada, the biggest snowball fight was in Saskatoon. I think I'm saying that right. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Saskatoon, Canada, more than 7,600 winter warriors came out to throw snow at each other on January 31st, 2016. Any of you have ever been to a Philadelphia Eagles game, you know they would break that record very quickly. I looked here and I found Colorado holds the record of, anybody want to guess the largest snowfall period in inches for a 24-hour period? 76 inches. Can you imagine if we got 76 inches? That was in Colorado. That's the record for the lower 48 states. You know, as we look tonight, if you open your Bible to Job chapter 38, I just want you to notice this passage of Scripture tonight. This is a unique message talking about snow, but, you know, I've been in a country for a decade and a half where people ask me, they would say, Pastor, what is snow? And they would read their Bible and they would be confused. You know, the Scriptures talk about snow over 24 different times in the Scriptures. And I just thought it would be a unique opportunity tonight to look at really just three things tonight of when you walk outside and you look at snow. I think there's some things that God intends for us to be reminded of. And these are very simple thoughts. And no one's going to walk away like, oh, that was such a deep message. Not that you ever do that when I preach. But you might sit here and go, man, that's simple thoughts. But I'm telling you this, God has a reason that he has put certain things on the earth. And I believe snow is a great blessing to us. And I just want to look at some simple passages of Scripture. And you'll notice in Job 38:22, the Scripture says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? And this is God speaking. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? And what was he trying to get Job to understand was, listen, we are not God. We cannot question the things that God does. But God was trying to get him to understand, hey, have you seen the treasures of the snow? I was reading a story, a true story that happened in 1966, but this came to light, and that, of course, that's 55 years ago. Deep in the Alps, in the country of France, sits Mount Blanc, almost 16,000 feet high. On January 24th, 1966, as Air India Flight 101 started its descent towards Geneva Airport, the pilot had miscalculated the aircraft's altitude, and the Boeing 707 was headed directly for the summit of Mont Blanc. Now, if you speak French and I'm saying that wrong, just forgive me. That's just how I say it, okay? France's highest mountain. All 117 people on board were killed as the plane crashed. It made a huge crater in the mountain. A mountain guide who was first to reach the scene was quoted as saying, everything was completely pulverized. Nothing was identifiable except for a few letters and packets. Various rescue attempts to recover bodies and debris were called off because of bad weather on the summit. Many remnants from the aircraft, including a bag of diplomatic mail and a wheel hub, have been gathered in the years since the tragedy. But pieces of twisted metal still lie in the peaks, nooks, and crannies of the mountain. Now, how many of you have heard of eBay? Raise your hand. You ever heard of eBay? Did you know there is a man I forgot his name here, Stefan Dan, who went by and collected pieces from that India Air flight. Did you know he puts them on eBay, on different sites, and he is selling parts, and people pay 20 euros just for a small piece of that plane. Well, what he noticed is as the snow melts, he's finding more and more treasures. Well, a few years ago, 3 years ago, there was a hidden treasure that was found when an anonymous mountain climber walked up to the French law enforcement officers and turned over a small box from the India Air flight. It was containing 100 precious jewels, including rubies, emeralds, and sapphires, worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000. You know, when you think about treasures, and you think about treasures in the snow, I don't believe that's what the scriptures are talking about, but I will remind you of this tonight. In our Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, we have great treasures tonight. We have great things that we are reminded to draw out of the passages of Scripture. And I believe God uses the word snow in some distinct and some specific ways in the Scriptures. It's interesting to notice that in this book of Job, which is the oldest in the Bible, contains more references to snow, ice, and frost than any other book of the Bible. This is despite the fact that Job's homeland was in what is now essentially a desert region. Can anybody, if you're a Bible, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. If you've read how many of you have read the book of Genesis? Raise your hand. Read the book of Genesis? Why is it that Job could be in a place that really you look at, and Job's the oldest book? How is it that there could be so much ice and snow talked about in the book of Job? Well, possibly it's from the effects of the post-flood ice age that were still strong and going on in Job's day. You see, archaeology still proves the Bible even today. I noticed the snow is mentioned over 24 times throughout the scriptures, and yet oftentimes when we go outside and we see snow, it loses its magnificence sometimes. We can say, and just to be honest tonight, all of us go outside and all of us would say snow is pretty, would we not? We'd look at it and go, man, it's beautiful. It can. How many of you have noticed snow can make ugly things look beautiful? Anybody notice that? Have you ever seen a tree that doesn't look all that nice, but you put 2 inches of snow on a branch and it looks beautiful? How many of you have trees at your home? Raise your hand. You have trees. Okay, most of us. You put an inch of ice on the outside of that limb and you see it as the sun rises, it looks beautiful. You know, God has given us snow to remind us, I think, that He is the great God. He is the great creator. And I just want to make a mention. If you note here in your notes, God had the writers of Scripture use the word snow for specific and great purposes. Now, we believe that every word of God is true. We believe in verbal, plenary, inspired Scripture. And we believe God didn't make a mistake for putting the word snow in the Bible. So tonight, I would just like for you to notice quite simply, when you walk out tonight and you notice the snow on the ground, I'd like you to think of these three things that we're going to look at in point one, point two, and point three. And I hope we won't just take for granted that snow just fell on the earth a few days ago, but that we'd realize that it's truly a great blessing from God. I want you to notice number one, the falling of snow fulfills the word of God. The falling of snow fulfills the word of God. Psalm 148 verse 8 says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy wind." Notice what he says here, fulfilling his word. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's fulfilling his word before our very eyes? Many times, I remember being in Russia, and Pastor sent me to Siberia one summer. I was really bad, and he just sent me. No, he was wanting me to experience the mission field, and he chose Siberia of all places. I remember going to Siberia and seeing snow up in different places, and I actually went there in the summer, but I was amazed at how cold things were. But you know, no matter where you went in that country, you could see remnants of snow. You could see different things around, but I was amazed that even there, people would ask, who created the world? I'll never forget a young man. If you know Russian, I don't know any words, spasibo, pozhalsta, and then I'm pretty much done with Russian. But you know how he was pointed to Christ? How he understood to ask me about God was snow. He looked at snow and he said, you know, this doesn't come in. If any of you have ever looked at snow under a microscope or you've looked at the intricacies of snow, you would notice that, man, snow is unique. Snow is different. God has created it to point people to the Creator. In a day where promises and words are broken every day, God always fulfills His word. How many of you have ever had somebody say, well, you know, when this happens, then, you know, I don't know if I can fulfill my word to you, but I'm going to try. But sometimes things change. You know, God does not change. And I'm thankful that when you look in the scriptures, you realize snow is a reminder that God's always going to fulfill his word. Oftentimes we can forget that God created the conditions of snow, and every time it snows, it should remind us of his great words and his love to us. Our God always keeps every one of his words and every one of his promises. Look at letter A. Let us remember that God's word will always be fulfilled. Let us remember that God's word will always be fulfilled. If you notice in Psalm 148 and verse 8, if you want to turn there real quick, Psalm 148 and verse 8, Psalm 148. Oh, I'm sorry, we just read that. I don't need to go back there. But oftentimes, are we amazed at the promises of God just being revealed in Scripture? Notice letter B, Job reminds us that snow reminds us of the silent yet mighty power of God. It reminds us of the silent yet mighty power of God. Job 37 verses 5 through 6 says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. And then he says something very interesting here. He says, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Now, if I could just remind you, I've been in East Africa for over 15 years, and we would have cyclones. And I was always reminded that at night, we would have devotions with our orphans. And so all of our orphans would come into a spot, probably from the area of the piano here to this first pew. And all the orphans would be in here, and I'd come up with my Bible, and we would do, we called it family devotions. And during these great cyclones, we always just had devotions, no matter what, no matter if there was a storm, not a storm. And this passage jumped out to me because he says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. And you know, the children were always amazed at the thunder that would come up from these cyclones. And you know, as it comes off the coast in Kenya and it would go over the mountains and it would hit us, the thunder was amazing. And I'll never forget one of the boys asking, he goes, Pastor, isn't this what the voice of God, the Bible says it sounds like? And you know, it reminded me that, you know, God's voice has that sound of thunder. And I remember the orphans would sing the song. How many of you know the song, Till the Storm Passes Over? Anybody know that song? Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. And so our kids, and Brandon knows, he was there, our kids could sing loud, and they would sing with all their hearts. And man, how music brings you together. And for that family devotion time, we'd have 40, 50 kids sitting in there, and they would be singing, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. Well, I'll never forget, they heard about a snowstorm in America. So when they heard snowstorm, they were like, oh, Pastor, is everyone okay? Because they thought cyclone, storm, bad, terrible. And then we showed them a picture of a video of snow. It was totally different than what they thought. They saw peaceful. They saw beautiful trees. They saw white everywhere. And they said, Pasta, it is silent. And I said, well, snow has a beautiful aspect to it that it is silent. Now, I'm not saying during a blizzard, but when everything is peaceful and calm, you know, I believe God wants us to notice those peaceful and calm moments, but it reminds us that God says, hey, just as powerful as I am in those big storms, I'm just as powerful when I send snow on the earth. But oftentimes we might not notice it because it doesn't have that big thunder. God says, listen, I want you to be reminded that I'm always fulfilling my word. We notice in letter C, Job speaks of entering into the treasures of the snow. And none of us can understand all of what Job is talking about here, because only the Lord knows the treasures of the snow. But scientists tell us of many benefits of snow. The snow is a treasure in many ways. The winter snowpack in the mountains is often called the white gold of the earth. Did you know this? Because snow on these packs is indispensable. It's water. It's a water storage capacity released in the melting season each spring to provide life to cities and irrigation in the desert for needed food supplies. If any of you have been to, I know some of you have looked to travel to Mount Kilimanjaro. Mount Kilimanjaro, if you go to the edge of that mountain, you'll see water that flows down, and people are sustained because of that snow at the top of that mountain. You know, God intends to use snow in a variety of ways, but in many cases, it points people to God the Creator, that there is something more to life than just what they see around them. I want you to see, not only is God's word fulfilled when it snows, as God has commanded it to snow, but I want you to see number two, snow reminds us of the righteousness of our God and Creator. Notice in Revelation 1:14, the Bible says his head and his hairs were white like wool. I have some students in East Africa. One of them called me today. He was a shepherd for 14 years. Found him when he finally came to our orphanage late as a 17-year-old. And he would always talk about how white wool was. And he would try to compare wool with snow, but he had never seen snow. So he would say, what's the difference? So this passage brings to my mind some things that he said. If you notice here, talking about Jesus, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. Let snow remind us tonight that we serve an almighty God. We serve a God that is holy and is righteous. And when we look at snow, let it remind us of the righteousness of God and that one day every knee shall bow. One day every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can often forget in our society how God is a holy God and God is a righteous God. And yet here on the island of Patmos, as John's vision was almost 2,000 years ago, our God is a holy God that hates sin. And it reminds me that one day there will be a great omnipotent judge over all the earth. Snow should remind us, remember when he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, snow should remind us to be holy. The righteousness of God is revealed in here in this passage. I don't think any of us understand tonight that if we would have seen this vision of John or of Jesus like John did, if we would have seen it, oh, how we would be on our faces and we would be, as pastors often demonstrated, we would be on the ground because we can't handle God's holiness. But you know, tonight it does us well. As we're sitting on our porch and we're looking out over the snow, maybe tonight, maybe we're drinking hot chocolate, to remember, God, thank you for your righteousness. God, thank you for your holiness. Notice letter A, our sins made us unacceptable to God. But Christ can make any heart white as snow. Many of our Ugandans realized very quickly that they were sinners and they really struggled with this particular verse. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. And I loved this verse because I often had Bible Institute guys come and ask me this question. They would read Isaiah 1:18 and they would say, "Oh, Pastor, I think I understand this," but in verse 18 they would say, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," they knew what scarlet was. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." I remember one guy in particular, his name was Franco. He asked me this question. He said, "Pastor, I know what scarlet is. I know how bad my sins are." And Franco had served in the war. And he had served in the war and he had done some terrible things. And he had done things out of war that he deeply regretted. And he said, "Pastor, I do not think that God can forgive me for my sins. I did some terrible things to people." You know, he looked at this verse and he says, "What does white as snow mean?" You know, I had no way to show him snow because I didn't have snow. You know what I had to do? I had to have one of my guards go up in a coconut tree and take a coconut and bring it down and cut it in half. And we opened up the coconut to look at the white of a coconut. And I was trying, and then I quickly realized that a coconut's still not as white as snow. But I looked at it, and I looked on the inside of that coconut, and I tried to explain to him, it's white as kind of like this. You know, tonight, we have a beautiful word picture in the scriptures that our sins, though they're as scarlet, no matter what we've done tonight, our sins can be forgiven, and they are white as snow. Our sins made us unacceptable to God, but Christ can make any heart white as snow. I think of Franco, I think of several people that tried to make things. You know, any of you have had clothing that, and I remember my wife, and if Anna, I don't know where Anna Stockman is tonight, but she would remember this because she lived in Kenya for many years. The best soap that we had in East Africa was a soap called Nomi or a soap called Omo. And this particular soap, you would get it and it was blue and you would get a white shirt and you would try to clean it and you try to make it as best as you could. You know what? You could never get it sparkling white. You could do everything you tried to do. So Mandy and I had this great idea after our first furlough. We brought over, how many of you have seen Costco? There's big things of spray and wash. Any of you seen that? Big buckets of it, you know? And so we would do it and we would tape the whole thing so it didn't bust open in our luggage. And we would get this spray and wash. And I'll never forget some of our Ugandans would have clothes that would have stains on them. And I'd say, "Hey, bring them over to the house. Let's wash them." I would wash it with that spray and wash, and it would get a lot of the stains out, and they would be amazed. You know what? It's not as white as snow. And God's giving us a beautiful word picture here that no matter where you're at tonight, we can be excited because we can be clean from sin. And you might say, well, hey, Jeremy, I've known that for my whole life, but I'm just telling you, there is a world out there today that has no idea that they can be white, clean as can be. They have no clue. You know why? That's why we support missions. That's why you give your faith promise. That's why we send missionaries. It's because there's a whole generation of people that don't even see snow, don't even have the word picture like you and I would have to look at snow and say, you know what? Snow means righteousness. Snow means purity. If we hasten on and we look, have you often thought, and this is something we do have in Uganda, you remember when the scripture says in Isaiah, just a few verses later, all of our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. I'll tell you this, every country on earth has filthy rags. I've been in leper colonies in Uganda. Some of the most horrific places, but the sweetest people on earth. You go into a leper colony and you see them take off those rags. And I was right next to Lake Victoria. And they looked, and you would see those rags over in the corner. And I looked, and this verse popped in my mind. All of my righteousnesses. I mean, tonight, when you walk out and you see snow, would you just thank God for his goodness to you? Or do we just take the benefits, the treasures of snow, and say, oh, God, yeah, you saved me. No, no, no. Make it a point in your heart, not only in your heart, but in your family's heart, to look and say, God, I know. Snow is a great teaching point for your children to explain to them, listen, you know, we try to do good things and we do this, but none of that is the righteousness of God. None of that can take away our sins. All of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. I know of a missionary who decided to go to a leper colony similar to the one in Uganda. And he basically gave his life to go, and he realized he could possibly contract leprosy. You know what we need? We need more people who are willing to commit to say, God, I'll do whatever, so people can understand the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We notice in this passage, snow reminds us of the absolute righteousness of our God. Revelation 1:14 talks about his garments. Daniel chapter 7 in verse 9 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. You know, it should remind us that God is a righteous judge. And one day he sees our sins. He knows our sins. He knows from the beginning and the end. It calls him the Ancient of Days. Let us be reminded tonight that we can't get any sin past our God. How many times could we be comfortable and sit in a beautiful auditorium, and we can go home and sit in a beautiful house, and we can drive in our cars, and we forget that, you know what, I'm a sinner, and I'm a sinner saved by grace. Let us be reminded to thank God tonight for God's righteousnesses, because our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. His head and hairs were like white wool, as white as snow. I see there are three places where God has described his garments, his head, and his hair by the word snow. God is always unhappy with our sin. And I believe it's important that we remind ourselves of this. Notice letter C. At the transfiguration, Jesus' raiment became shining. It was said to be exciting. And I love this verse. And so if you can, just turn to this verse, because this is something you got to underline, okay? This is the coolest verse on snow to me. Jesus' raiment became shining. It was said to be exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. I don't know if you've ever noticed that scripture, but he says nothing can be whiter than this. And it's a picture of God saying, I am righteous. And you know, in order to be in heaven, there's nothing you can do to get here, but you know what? Your righteousness are as filthy rags. But when Jesus was transfigured, those folks looked at him and thought, man, we are of all things unclean people. How we need to be reminded of the righteousness of God. Again, the greatest word picture of exceeding white was this word, snow. No fuller on earth can white them. I've often thought, No one here probably likes dirty snow. How many of you are looking for the next few days, all the dirty snow that's going to be around? You notice that, like the grime and the grit gets in, it gets on your car, and you're like, man, I got to get the car washed, and then I got to wait for more snow to melt, and then I got to get it washed again. You're like, it's going to tear up the bottom. Some of you are worrying about your car right now as I'm talking about this. But we look at it, and we go, oh, dirty snow. None of us like dirty snow. How many of you enjoy going to, how many of you make food things out of snow? Anybody make like snow ice cream or anything like that? Anybody ever do that? My mom used to make that kind of stuff, and she would love the snow. She'd go, oh, no, go get the fresh snow. And we would go, and we'd take a deal, and we'd put it in a bowl, and we'd bring back this snow, and then we'd just load it with a ton of sugar, you know, Eagle brand milk and all these unhealthy things, you know. But you look at it, and I would always be reminded that you always wanted the good snow. And when you go tell your children to play, you don't say, hey, go play in the dirty snow. Go over there in that place that looks all like got the rocks and everything in it. Go play in that. Why? Because anybody with a brain knows you don't go play in dirty snow. But you know, I'm afraid there's too many times in Jeremy Pittman's life that I'm content perhaps to play with dirty snow in my life. And you know, it's important that I remember tonight that God saved me. Be ye holy as I am holy. How we should be reminded tonight when we walk out these doors and we see snow that, yes, God is fulfilling his word. And yes, we look and we see the righteousness of God. And that means not only is he righteous, but he's calling us to be righteous. Notice letter D. When David sinned with Bathsheba and was confronted by Nathan, he asked for God's forgiveness so he could be washed, what? Whiter than what? Snow. This verse comes right out of David's prayer of repentance. It's a powerful verse of confession and cleansing, and God will wash us and make us whiter than snow. I'll never forget talking to a man, and he had killed another gentleman and had just terrible situation. And he said, nothing can forgive me of this sin. And yet he experienced saving grace and got saved and actually became a pastor, if you can believe that. You know what? God's intent tonight on making all things new. And isn't that something snow does? You can have I noticed when I have a grill that was dirty. And when snow went on it, I was like, man, that looks like a nice grill. Why? Because snow covered it. You know what God says tonight? He says, I want you to think of snow and be clean and get all the dirty snow out. Have you ever really messed up? Perhaps you've committed something terrible. Well, can you imagine the guilt that David had gone through after committing adultery and murdering the husband to cover his sin? You see, David knew the darkness of sin in his heart. And he had seen the snow in Israel before and proclaimed, wash me whiter than snow. Let us be reminded that, hey, whatever sin you're going through this week and whatever thing that you said, Jeremy, I messed up Monday, I messed up Tuesday, I messed up Wednesday, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, wash me whiter than snow. It's a word picture that God gives us. Notice number three, and lastly, snow reminds us to be faithful in our Christian service. And this is perhaps one of my favorite parts of this. Proverbs 25 and verse 13. I wrote the wrong verse in here, so it's my fault. But if you notice, it's not Proverbs 24:13. It's Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. And some of you might say, well, what does that phrase mean, as the cold of snow in harvest? Well, this, of course, does not mean a snowstorm or hailstorm in the time of harvest. Why? That would be catastrophic. If you got a snowstorm in the middle of harvest, that would destroy your crops. It would be anything but a blessing. And we see this happening in Proverbs 26:1 and 1 Samuel 12, 17, and 18. But the distant view, perhaps, is of people sitting in Israel and looking on Mount Hermon and looking at the mountains in Lebanon and looking and saying, it gives me an idea of the refreshment and the heat of autumn, or more probably snow used to cool drink in warm weather. And oftentimes, have you ever thought that I think I read 30% of the world has never seen an ice cube. Can you imagine that? Anybody ever thought of that? Who comes up with these things? But have you thought about, you know, God says, listen, I want you to understand, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. Sometimes when it gets hot outside, how many of you enjoy a nice cold cup of anything? Just raise your hand. Well, not anything, but you know what I mean. You enjoy water. You enjoy something cold. And you don't want a hot Coke. No, no, you want something. You want ice in it. I don't like Coke when it's hot. I don't like Coke really that much anyway. But give me water anytime. You know, God says, I want you to be refreshing to other people. He said, I want you through your faithfulness to be the person at work who's the most refreshing person in the office. Why? Because you are like snow. I'll never forget in East Africa, Mandy remembers this. We were talking about it tonight. Any of you from the southern part of the United States know what sweet tea is? Anybody? Raise your hand. You know what sweet tea is? How many of you don't know what sweet tea is? Okay, some of you do not know what sweet tea is. Well, sweet tea is the most fantastic thing on the face of the earth, okay? It is wonderful. But I'd have Ugandans come, and I would try to explain to them, and they would ask about snow, and I would say, hey, I got something that's kind of like snow. And I got these ice cubes out of my freezer. And Mandy, you know how much ice we had. We had the trays, and we were always cracking ice, and we had all this ice. And these guys would drive for 2.5 hours to come for Bible lessons. Now, keep in mind, I would drive out to their village once or twice a week, but they couldn't get enough of the scriptures. And they would come on a sporadic day, and they would just show up, and they'd all be at my gate. And I'd have like 5 guys there, and they would be like, Pastor, we want more Bible lessons. And I'm like, okay. So we let them in, and I'll never forget the first time I put ice cubes in their glass. I was trying to explain to them snow. They looked at me. I'll never forget. The guys looked at me, and they're like, no pasta, no pasta. And I'm telling you, it took me 2 weeks to get them to drink ice in their glass. Now, they looked at, they watched me drink it. I think they thought poisoning was very common there. I didn't poison people, okay, but people would try to poison us. And I remember them thinking, they're like, pasta, that is something it's not good. What is in that? And so then I put the ice in their hand. And they were like, ah! Oh! You know, it was like the most terrible experience to them to have ice in their hand. But I'm trying to let them understand, look, the snow, and it's refreshing. And it took another 2 weeks. So it took a full month. And Mandy, you remember this. We had this tea, and she would put sugar cane. How many of you like sugar cane? Well, we had fresh sugar cane. And you put that sugar cane in that sweet tea, and you mix it up. And we would pour it in these glasses. I'll never forget these guys would look at us. And some of you remember Stephen from Poliette. And Stephen would say, okay, Pastor, now I want to try. It was like he had to work up a month of faith to realize I wasn't going to do anything, you know. And sitting there, and he gets that thing. I mean, his eyes lit up. It's like the first time a kid tastes honey or sugar or something. Their eyes are like, what? And he drank it, and he's like, Pastor, do you have more? And I said, yes, I have more. And you know what? It was the coolest thing. He got his friends. They came over, and everybody is drinking Mandy's sweet tea. Now, I was very special because I'm the only one who had Mandy, okay? And they would say, oh, Pastor, you have a good wife. You have a good wife. And I was like, yes, I know I have a good wife. We would sit there, and we would drink tea, and she would make a big old batch of it. And I'll never forget when they would go back to the village, they would say, can we take some sweet tea with us? And I would say, yes. You know what? On a very simple level tonight, we need to be people who are refreshing to other folks. There's too many people today that are discouraged. There's too many people, your relatives, that are downtrodden. You know what they need? They don't need a glass of sweet tea. They need you and I to be the refreshment. They need you and I to be the people as cold waters, as the scripture says in Proverbs 25, as a cold of snow in the time of harvest, so as a faithful messenger to them that send him. Notice letter A. We should be faithful messengers to our master. When you're faithful, you're going to be that great messenger. When we do right at our jobs tomorrow, when we do right in our homes, we can be faithful and a great blessing to others. Solomon used the word snow here, talking about the faithful wife, and being in Proverbs 31 and talks about how that she had no need to worry because preparation was essential. Here, snow is seen as something refreshing. I want you to notice letter B. Snow reminds us that we can be refreshers. We can be refreshers to the soul of others. Let me just ask you quickly tonight. Are you known as a refresher of others? Are we an encouragement to our husband or our wife? You know, the greatest place for me to have sweet tea was at home. It was right there. It was easily accessible. But I'm telling you this, too many times in our homes, perhaps we're not the sweetness that we could be in our marriages. Perhaps we're not the sweetest mom or the sweetest dad to be a refresher to folks. I noticed a man named Wilson Bentley was a New England farmer that in the early 1900s couldn't get enough of snowflakes. For 40 years, he ran around in the snow, catching snowflakes on chilled slides for photography, and photographed them, seeking to capture for others the beauty he saw in those one-of-a-kind masterpieces of frozen crystals. Over his lifetime, Mr. Bentley photographed more than 5,000 individual snowflakes. He was a Christian. His notes were effusive. He said, "Number 785 is so rarely beautiful." He wrote of this as a feast of their beauty. You know, tonight, God's given us given snow to Christians to remind us of fulfilling his word. He's given it to us to remind us how wonderful that he is, not only fulfilling his word, but in being refreshing to other people. How many of you have heard of the missionary David Livingstone? Have you heard of David Livingstone? Today we think of the medical missionary David Livingstone as the pioneer missionary. His work led to seeing tens of thousands saved in Africa. He was a cartographer. He wrote maps of the continent and traveled through the deserts and the swamps and making maps for future missionaries. He helped as an abolitionist to end much of the slave trade in several parts of Africa. He was the first to document quinine to help fight malaria in Africa. When I had malaria 10 times, I often had to take quinine. It says David Livingstone saw thousands of people saved and opened the door to get the gospel to tens of thousands of unreached people on the African continent. I often think of David Livingstone as, man, he must have been on the ball. He must have been so amazing. Yet, did you know one of the first times he was 29 years old, he got up to preach in Scotland? And I'll read you what is said of him. David Livingstone was an adult man that when he climbed into the pulpit of a little church in Scotland, he'd honed his sermon to his very best ability. He'd prepared it so very well. He wanted to be a great preacher. He wanted to go give his life on the mission field. And when he got up to preach that night, he flapped his wings, but he couldn't get off the runway with his sermon. He tried, but finally he forgot his sermon altogether. So he apologized to the congregation and left the pulpit in great shame. However, he failed to notice that there was a missionary sitting out in the audience named Robert Moffat. The famous missionary was there, and Robert Moffat came up to him at the end of the service and said, "You can be a great and wonderful servant of God. Why don't you go to medical school?" It was known that David Livingstone had an extremely plain preaching style, but an endearing personality to many people. However, today you can't mention Africa without thinking about the medical missionary of David Livingstone. But what would have happened to David Livingstone without the encouragement of Robert Moffat? You read David Livingstone's writings and you see it went back to a place of one person saying, "I'm going to be an encouragement." Let me ask you this evening. Who's the person that God's putting on your heart, perhaps right now, to say, "I need to be an encouragement to this person"? It could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your son, it could be your daughter. It could be someone at work, but God says, "I want you to be the refresher." Can you imagine if there was no Robert Moffat to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, "I'm going to encourage David Livingstone"? What would have happened if David Livingstone wouldn't have gone to Africa and tens of thousands of people hadn't have trusted Christ as their Savior? You know, we can always leave it up and say, "Well, maybe God would have called someone else," but God had a plan and a purpose for David Livingstone. Can I encourage you tonight? God has a plan and a purpose for you tonight. And part of that plan and purpose is to realize through looking at snow that God always fulfills his purposes, to remember the righteousness of God in our lives and realize we don't want to have dirty snow. We want to be people who are pure before God. But lastly, we want to be encouragers. We want to be that cold of snow in the time of harvest, and we want to be a refreshment to other people. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you might be here this evening, and you might just want to pray in the quietness of this moment. As the piano player plays, you might just want to talk to the Lord tonight and think of the treasures of snow in the scriptures and say, "Lord, would you help me in one of these areas?" Maybe God's promised you something, and you say, "I've doubted God's word, and yet I know through snow God's going to fulfill his word. I don't know why I'm doubting." Maybe it's one of these situations of being an encouragement. Maybe it's the righteousness of God and remembering that he is righteous, and you say, "Man, I want to be holy as God is holy. I want to take up that call for sanctification." Tonight, as you go out and you look at the snow, would you remember that people are looking for us to be an encouragement? I think of Laura Adams. I think of Mr. Adams, Nick Adams, who lost his dad this week. And They're having to prepare for a funeral. How the Adams could use some encouraging texts, some encouraging notes. Who does God want us to be an encouragement to this week? Let us take this time to go to prayer. Thank you for coming tonight.